You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on October 14th, 2018, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You ever have performance anxiety dreams? You know, the kind of dreams where you suddenly realize you've got an exam the next day and, of course, you haven't attended all semester? Those kind of dreams are really pretty common. My version always involved a Spanish exam the next day, which was funny because I've never taken a Spanish class in my life. God alone knows why my subconscious chose Spanish as the source of those anxious dreams. Now, performance anxiety isn't necessarily a bad thing. When it's well contained and properly directed, performance anxiety can be a great motivator to doing our best. And performance anxiety, as unpleasant as it can be sometimes, helps us to identify something that's missing, something that's lacking. Whether it's attendance at an imaginary Spanish class like in my old dream, or something more concrete, performance anxiety might help us to identify something that's missing in our lives and maybe point us in a new direction. Take the man in our gospel story this morning. He's got a pretty severe case of performance anxiety. In his case, he's anxious about eternal life. He's scrupulously followed all of the commandments, or at least most of them, but he's really anxious that he still hasn't done enough. What more do I have to do, teacher? What do I need that I don't have? And the surprising answer from Jesus, you lack one thing. Is that all? Only one thing? I mean, how many of us here this morning feel like we lack only one thing? Now, be honest and think about that for a minute. But let's go back to our story. What does this guy lack exactly? I mean, he's clearly not lacking in material stuff. I think the way the world sees it, he's got everything he needs and then some. So what's Jesus suggesting? Is he suggesting that perhaps he lacks compassion for the poor? Is he suggesting that he can't see that others experience scarcity and he can't appreciate his own abundance? Or is Jesus thinking that his attachment to his wealth gets in the way of his relationship with God? You know, the story's ambiguous on this, so maybe we might start by just taking Jesus literally. You know, we do have too much. We need to give it away out of our abundance. Yeah, but you might be saying to yourself, I don't have too much. In fact, I don't have enough. If only I had just a little more, then I could start giving it away. And it gets tricky, doesn't it, when we start taking Jesus at face value. Now hang on to that for just a minute and let's get back to our man's question to Jesus. Because I think that'll help us see what Jesus is getting at when he talks to the man about the one thing he lacks. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The man asks. Well, no wonder he's got performance anxiety. He thinks it's all up to him. He thinks he's not doing it right. And if only he could or would do it right, then he would have eternal life. You see how self-centered that is? He can't see that eternal life might be about more than him. Eternal life might not be something that can be achieved by his own effort, and it might be about more than his own private salvation. He thinks he's done all the right things, but has he? Notice that the commandments he says he's kept are the last six of the ten. Not murdering, not stealing, not being an adulterer, not being a cheater. Oh, that's all good. But Jesus is pointing out to him that he's missed out on the first four commandments. The ones about loving God. The ones about honoring God. The ones about devotion to God. The ones about putting God first ahead of yourself. And what has the man put in place of God? Well, you can take a guess, and I'll bet you're right. His stuff. He's made his wealth the most important thing in his life. Now, you've heard it from this pulpit before. One of my great old mentors used to say, "Tell me the most important thing in your life, and I'll tell you who your God is." See, the man has trusted his money, and he's trusted his performance. You know, following all the rules, that's all about performance, isn't it? That's all about doing it right. He's trusted all that to save him. What he hasn't trusted is God. That's his lack. He hasn't trusted God. He hasn't trusted something larger than himself. He hasn't trusted anything outside himself. He's tried to control everything. How's that work out for you? Right? He's tried to control everything. He's believed that his salvation, and remember, I mean, you've heard it here 100 times, the root word, the Latin root word of salvation is salvus, and it literally means health and wholeness. You know, it doesn't mean something that happens, you know, way off in the distant future somewhere. Salvation means health and wholeness, and by the very terms that it means right now. And he thinks it's all up to him. And my God, no wonder he's anxious. Now notice this. We're told that the man expresses his anxious need like this. And then Jesus looked at him. looked at him, and loved him. You know, this is the only time in Mark's gospel where Jesus is described in this way. So it's got to be pretty significant, don't you think? Jesus can see how much this man wants faith, how much this man wants to trust, and how hard it is for him to let go of the God he's been worshiping. You know that God, you probably may even be familiar with that God, the God of mammon, the God of wealth. He's seen how hard it is for the man to let go of that God and turn towards the living God. I mean, the old gods die hard, don't they? And Jesus clearly knows the struggle and looks at the man. And Jesus looks at us with the eyes of compassion and love. Now, here's another detail I want us to notice. After hearing about his lack and what he should do about it from Jesus, we're told that the man was shocked and went away grieving. Now, most people assume that he went away to return to business as usual, to return to the status quo. Dang, it's just too hard to give up all my stuff. I just can't do it. Now, that might be how you or I might handle Jesus' observation. But you see, the story doesn't tell us that. In fact, we just don't know what the man decides to do. It could very well be that he's grieving because he knows how hard it's going to be to follow Jesus. But he's determined to do it anyway. His grief, in other words, might be about the loss he's going to experience as he makes way for new life. You know, we just don't know. But what we do know is that while grief might accompany the loss of the old God, salvation, you know, health, healing, wholeness, waits on the other side of that loss. So you see, the man's performance anxiety may very well have led him to a new and deep insight. And that insight is this: he already has everything he needs. By letting the old God die and embracing the living God, by trusting the living God, by placing his faith in the living God, by surrendering to the living God, his lack is filled. And it's not about performance. It's about opening up to what's already there, God's loving presence. That's what was right in front of the man as Jesus looked at him so lovingly. God's loving presence. And all the man had to do was look. Now, I've had another kind of performance anxiety dream lately. In fact, I've had it twice in the last few weeks. I'm still back in college in this dream, but this time I realize there's a math class I haven't gone to all semester. By the way, I like calculus so much in college, I took it twice. So the exam's tomorrow, and if I don't pass the exam, not only will I fail the course, I won't graduate from college. But instead of waking up in a cold sweat at that point, like in my earlier performance anxiety dreams, this one goes on. In fact, a light bulb turns on for me in the dream. Wait a minute, I find myself saying, you already have a college degree. You don't need another one. You already have everything you need. The math class doesn't matter. Now, isn't that something? The same dream, the same outcome, twice in the space of about 2 weeks. You think God's trying to tell me something? Wake up, Lex. You already have everything you need. You have me. You have God. And there will be enough. There will be enough. What do you lack? I mean, seriously. What do you lack? Whatever your answer might be, and it'll be different for each one of us, underneath whatever it is we think we lack, it could be that what we really lack is faith. It could be that what we really lack is trust. Trust that it's an abundant world. Trust that there's enough for everyone, including enough for us and for the people we love. Now, can I prove for you what I just claimed? No, I can't prove it for you, but you can. You can prove it by yourself by following the example of our friend in the story. I'm going to assume that, in fact, he accepted Jesus' invitation, as hard and as grievous as it might have been for him. I'm going to assume that he allowed the old God to die so that he could follow the living God. He started giving his stuff away so it wouldn't be such a burden. He started giving his stuff away so he could follow Jesus. Now, you can see if this works for you. What do you need to let go of so you can follow Jesus? What would it be like to find something that you really believe in? And here, I'll just use an example here. This, you'll have your own examples, but I'll use as an example Congregations of the Homeless and the Sophia Way. What would it be like to write these organizations a check for a whole lot more than you feel comfortable with? I'll tell you for a fact that Jesus stands with those dear men and women and children who these organizations serve. You can serve the Lord Jesus and you can serve those dear people by making yourself a little uncomfortable. Find out what that's like. I'll make a prediction. I think you'll find that it's liberating. I think that you'll find it will move you towards healing and wholeness. I think you'll find it will move you towards trust and faith. It will move you towards eternal life. My dear sisters and brothers, the old God needs to die. Something new is waiting to be born in you. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.